Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house. As we open the Word, you've already read pretty much all of the passage for this morning in the responsive reading. That was wonderful that we could do that. I'm looking at the first chapter of John and looking at the first 18 verses this morning. And it's really the second message in a series of seeking to reconnect or to connect in a more significant and powerful way with our Lord. I suppose most of us here, looking out, I'd say most of us here remember the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey. Anybody here see that? I did, and enjoyed it. And you probably remember the sequel. Remember what that is? What's that? The sequel was 2010. Does that sound familiar? The year we make contact. 2010, the year we make contact. Now, as the title indicates, it's about us earthlings making contact with extraterrestrials. But I'd like to use the thought of making contact that this title gives to us for this series of messages. I'd like 2010 to be the year that we make contact, not with extraterrestrials, but with a loving, forgiving, all-powerful God. I want our connection with our Lord to be renewed. And I want to give you some thoughts and some tools, some ways that together we can intensify and renew and make real in a fresh way our connection with our God. And today, of course, looking at John chapter 1, I'm beginning with how can we know and make contact, make connection with Jesus? Who was he? Anyway, we talk a lot about him. We tell his stories. We reflect on things that he said. But let's connect with Jesus in a special way by talking about who he is. Let's pray. Father, would you come to us as we seek to understand Jesus this morning? We want to know you, and we want to know our Savior, our friend, our companion, our God. Help us this morning, Lord, to learn and to connect in the name of Jesus. I pray. Amen. Well, just in case you're wondering, I'll begin this morning by saying that there is a God, he is good, and he loves you, and he wants you to know him and to love him, and he wants you to walk in fellowship with him. And it's my prayer that this is the year that you make contact with him in a more powerful, more personal, more dynamic way than you ever have before. I pray this year will be a special year of connecting with your Lord. I hope these messages will inspire you to and motivate you to seek the presence of God in your life tenaciously, to experience a life-changing connection with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I seek to begin each year. It's become a habit to have a yearly theme. It's a personal thing, but I seek to focus on one particular topic or theme. Maybe it's because I'm simple-minded and I have to keep things simple, but every year I seek to find a theme, and I try to read about that theme. I try to find anything I can find out there, TV programs, movies, books, messages, scripture, anything I can find about that, I will naturally gravitate toward that. I really study it and try to make it a more permanent and vital part of my life. 1 year, my theme was perseverance, for instance. I decided I would learn what it means and what it takes to be the kind of person who never gives up. And I spent a whole year just looking at anything I could find about perseverance. Anything that someone mentioned to me that this is about perseverance, my ear was attuned that year to it. Another year, my theme was prayer. And I studied the prayers of the Bible and prayer traditions of the church, and I read books about prayer and everything I could find, everything I could get my hands on. And then I tried to learn how to pray more effectively. I prayed more. And I tried to understand, what is this weird thing that I'm doing? Does it make sense? Does it make a difference? What is it? Why do I spend so much time doing this? 1 year, my chosen topic was vision. I asked God to help me plan my life, not in terms of what is realistically achievable, but in terms of what is supernaturally possible through the power of God and focused living. What is it that God wants to do in my life, and how can I live that out? Not just what I can do on my own, but what God is seeking to do through me. A couple of years ago, and this was after my accident, I remember the year that I was in the hospital. That year, my topic was trying to hear the Word of God. How can I discern God's voice amongst all the other voices that are clamoring to get my attention? And I had this time in the hospital, longer than I ever realized I ever would, to just simply focus on that. And at the end of that time, I was able to hear God's voice and just discern His voice and distinguish it from all the other voices. And I discovered that hearing the voice of God is very rare, much more rare than I ever thought. And so I'm very careful before I ever say that God told me something. I don't say that very often. But it's something that took me a while to learn. A couple of years ago, my topic was Jesus. It was a great year. Not only did I read a lot about who Jesus is theologically, I really tried to connect with Him personally and intimately. I read and I reread several times the Gospels. I also watched all the movies that I could find about Him. I read several books, mostly biographies about His life, from every theological perspective I could find. I read, that was my year of Christology. I just had to understand Jesus Christ. And as the year wore on, I made an amazing discovery. I know Him, okay? He's real to me. In the years before, he had been in some ways a kind of a one-dimensional character that I talked about and spoke about. Yes, I believed in Him, I loved Him, I served Him, but in that year, I grew to know Him like never before. And He became a greater part of my life than ever before. That's the power that I found just in taking time and focusing on one topic in a year. And I'd like to challenge you to make a special effort this year to connect or to reconnect with Jesus. That's a great place to start. After several years of experiencing this, I found that was the most fruitful for me. To connect with Him in a more personal way than ever before. Jesus needs to be the central focus of our spiritual life. Being a Christian is not just about trying to be good or trying to be nice or voting a certain way or following a certain type of fashion. Being a Christian is about having a personal, one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ. And that relationship begins when you invite Him into your heart and ask Him to be the Lord of your life. The Lord, word Lord means boss. And you agree to follow him as closely as you can. This week I had just a very fascinating discussion with someone who was raised Catholic, was very much into the Catholic faith, but then moved away from it and was looking for something else. So he went to a Lutheran church. And we were talking about the traditions of Catholicism and Lutheranism and how both of those churches are umbrella churches. You know what I mean by an umbrella church? That the church and being a member of the church provides an umbrella. And as long as you're under that umbrella, you're going to heaven. So the church holds the keys to who gets under that umbrella and who doesn't. And I said, well, as Baptists, we're not an umbrella church. And we spent some time talking about how what we believe is that you come into a very personal and intimate relationship with Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And it is coming out of that relationship of receiving his sacrifice and recognizing it and repenting of sin and really establishing that connection. If there is an umbrella in the Baptist church, that's the umbrella. But it's a personal thing that you have with Jesus. And it was just a fun discussion. But in order for us to follow Jesus, we've got to know him. And the great tragedy is that Jesus came into the world that he himself had created, and the world didn't even recognize who he was. John writes in verse 10 and 11 of our section of John 1 that he was in the world, and through him the world was made through him. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Now, we don't want to make that mistake. We don't want to recognize him as some foreigner. We want to recognize him for who he is and receive him for who he wants to be in our lives. John wrote in verse 12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's our umbrella. It's a personal thing that each one of you must establish personally, that you come into a relationship with Jesus. So today, let's take a closer look at who Jesus is and give some thought to how we can strive to know him better. And I want to give you some points on how you can, over the next months or weeks, however you choose, how you can take some very practical steps to know Jesus better. First of all, he is the eternal God. Jesus, he is the eternal God. When you ask that question, your answer to that question separates you from every other religion in the world. It separates you from the Muslims, from Buddhists. It separates you from many other religions. It's what makes you distinctively Christian, because you recognize that Jesus is divine. Verse 1 of John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Did you know that Jesus existed in heaven before he ever came to earth? In fact, we say that God created the heavens and earth, but the Bible is even more specific than that. The Bible states that Jesus created the heavens and the earth. Jesus is the Creator. Do you know that? John says in verse 3, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. The writer of Hebrews states in Hebrews 1 verse 2, through him he made the universe. In Colossians, Paul writes For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I like to say that's the superglue verse. Jesus is the superglue of the universe. It is Jesus who holds everything together. The writer of the book of Hebrews also states that Jesus sustains all things by his powerful word in verse 3 of Hebrews 1. And he goes on to say in verse 4 that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Jesus is more than just a good teacher. He is the eternal God. He existed before his birth in Bethlehem, and he lives even after his death at Calvary. Now, Christians believe that God is a Trinity. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three equal, all three separate, yet all three are one. And the Bible teaches that Jesus existed from the beginning. He wasn't created. He is the Creator. He has always been, along with the Father and the Spirit. So when we hear the words of Jesus, we're not just listening to a good teacher. We're hearing the teachings of God himself. Now, Buddha was an enlightened individual, but he was only a man. Muhammad was only a man. Confucius was only a man. Jesus is God. He made that claim and he proved it. When the government put him to death, he came back from the grave. He was dead. And now he's alive. No other religious leader has done that. No other religious leader could do it. Jesus could do it because he's God. So he is eternal God. Secondly, he's the light of the world. He's the light of the world. In verse 9 of John 1, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Now, what do I mean by the light of the world? What do I mean by the true light that gives light to every man? I'm saying that Jesus was the greatest teacher that ever lived. And he taught us what it means to walk with God. Now, if I were to compile all the wisdom of the ages into one volume, the greatest teachings of the greatest teachers throughout history, the teachings of Jesus would dominate the contents of that volume. He was simply the greatest teacher that the world has ever known. His views of ethics, spirituality, and morality have shaped the way the world thinks about these issues. Thich Nhat Hanh is a Vietnamese Buddhist monk who has lived in exile in France for the last 25 years. He recently wrote a book called Living Buddha, Living Christ. And he in this book, he's offering a comparison of the two ideologies. Now, Han is not a Christian and is clearly Buddhist, but he gives a fascinating Buddhist viewpoint. In reference to the teachings of Jesus, he makes some interesting comments. First of all, he says that it was an obstacle for him to even consider the teachings of Christ because of the negative opinions he had of Christianity. Now, this was the result of the political shenanigans of a so-called Christians whose idea of ministry was killing Buddhists. Also, he admitted that he had a personal prejudice against Jesus' teachings before he ever read them, simply because Jesus taught only 3 years and the Buddha taught for 45 years. Because of this, he thought the Buddha must certainly have been a more accomplished teacher. That opinion changed when he actually examined the teachings of Christ for himself. After reading Jesus' teachings, he couldn't deny that Jesus was the greatest teacher. This Buddhist monk is not a Christian, but he calls Jesus the greatest teacher to have ever lived. Neither was Gandhi a Christian, but he patterned his life on the teachings of Jesus, specifically the Sermon on the Mount. His nonviolent approach helped India gain independence from British oppression. And in the movie, Gandhi, seen that movie? Great movie to see. There's a scene where he's walking down the street with an Anglican priest, and they're about to face an angry mob. And the priest wants to run, hightail it. Let's get out of here. But Gandhi says, didn't Jesus say we shouldn't resist an evil person? And the priest's response was something to the effect, I always interpreted that passage figuratively, not literally. Let's book. Gandhi understood the power of Jesus' teachings to the extent that one time he said, you Christians have in your keeping a document with enough dynamite in it to blow the whole of civilization to bits, to turn society upside down, to bring peace to this war-torn world, but you read it as if it were just good literature and nothing more. Did you hear that? That's Gandhi speaking. There's no doubt that Jesus is a good teacher. There's no doubt that Jesus is a great teacher. And yes, the greatest teacher to have ever lived. At one point in Jesus' ministry, when the Pharisees wanted him to be arrested, the temple guards were sent after him. And instead of arresting Jesus, they came back with a rather sheepish look on their face, because they went and he taught, and they just listened to him. And later, when the Pharisees and chief priests asked the temple police why Jesus hadn't been arrested, the police answered in John 7:46, no one ever spoke the way this man does. They were captivated by his teaching. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus visited the town of Capernaum and began teaching at the temple. And Luke says in Luke 4:32, they were amazed at his teaching because his message had authority. About his teaching, Jesus said in Mark 13:31, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. And he also said in John 6:63, the words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. And in John 8:51, he said, anyone who keeps my word will never see death. Jesus is the final word. All we need to know about having a relationship with God, all we need to know about living the Christian life, all we need to know about life, we can learn from Jesus. There's nothing anyone can add to his teachings to make them better. How do you improve on a statement like, do unto others as you would have them do unto you? You don't. Just the way he states these things are so powerful and complete. You cannot improve on the power and simplicity of the Lord's Prayer. You can't improve on the Sermon on the Mount. As preachers, it's not our job to embellish the teachings of Christ. It's our job to help all of us apply the teachings of Christ. His teachings are unparalleled, and all you need to live a satisfying and meaningful life that pleases God. Jesus' teachings are complete and full. And next, thirdly, I want you to see that He is the source of grace and truth. He is the source of grace and truth. John said in verse 14, "We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." For, in verse 17, "The law was given through Moses, grace and truth through Jesus Christ." Now, the world's religions uniformly preach a message of an angry God and a message of judgment. Now, without a doubt, there will be a judgment someday when all of creation will stand before the throne of God and give an account for everything they've done. But we need to remember that we don't face this judgment alone. We stand before the throne of God under the covering of Christ, who paid the debt of our sins. Jesus didn't come to earth 2,000 years ago simply to teach, although that would just be amazing. That's enough. He didn't just come to enlighten us. He taught us how to live, but He knew that we needed more than that to be taught. We needed to be saved, and His primary role in coming to earth was to save us from our sins. And when Jesus went to be baptized by John the Baptist, John saw Jesus and said in verse 29 of John 1, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In Luke 19:10, Jesus said of Himself, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost." And it was Jesus Himself who said these wonderful words of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." St. Jerome was a church father who translated early Greek manuscripts into Latin. He lived in Bethlehem because he wanted to live in the town where Jesus was born. Now, one night, he had a dream. And in that dream, Jesus visited him. And in the dream, Jerome put all of his money together and offered it to Jesus. And Jesus said, "I don't want your money." Jerome then began assembling all of his possessions to offer them to Christ. And Jesus said, "I don't want your possessions either." Now, in his dream, Jerome looked into the face of Jesus and asked, "Then what can I give you?" And Jesus said, "Give me your sin. That's what I came for. I came to take away your sin." Now, we may want to live by the teachings of Christ, but we have a problem that first must be addressed: sin. Our sin has created a gap between us and God, and Jesus Christ came into the world to bridge that gap. Hebrews says that His death on the cross provided purification for our sins. Our sins can be removed forever. Our guilt can be removed forever, and we can live with a clean conscience. In chapter 2, the writer of Hebrews says that Jesus frees those whose lives are held in slavery to fear. If Jesus is only a good teacher, He wouldn't be able to do this. Throughout history, many have tried to teach the way or have tried to lead the way. Jesus, however, is the way. He came into the world not only to be our teacher, but also to be our Savior. Now, John begins his gospel by reminding us that Jesus is our Savior. He is our light. He is the source of grace and truth. And in order to thrive in the Christian life, we need to know Him personally, one-on-one. Now, I'm going to close with three suggestions on how you can draw nearer to Jesus. How can you connect with this amazing Jesus? First, read the Gospels. Read the Gospels. read about half a chapter a day, okay? There are 89 chapters in the four Gospels, so you can get through them twice in a year just by reading half a chapter a day. Now, the goal isn't just to get through them. The goal is to encounter Jesus in the process. So take your time, but really work for consistency. Every day, read half a chapter. Keep going back to this objective throughout this year. Every time you find yourself off track, read through the Gospels in order to encounter Jesus in a personal way. So first, read the Gospels. It's your best source of knowing Jesus and connecting with his heart. Secondly, watch a few movies. Okay? There are a lot of DVDs available on the life of Jesus. Remember the video Bible on Matthew? They've also done John in a video Bible, but we used it over the last several years as we've gone through the Gospel of Matthew. There are also several other good movies about Christ. The Passion of the Christ. My favorite of all of them is a little bit older, but I think it's the most wonderful movie to get a sense of Jesus. It's a little Catholic, but that's okay. You filter through it because you see the heart of Jesus, simply called Jesus of Nazareth. And then another one, The Greatest Story Ever Told. There are a lot of movies about Jesus. Watch a few movies. Take some time. And you'll connect with Jesus. I encourage you to try to watch a film about Jesus each month. Well, some movies are better than others. But you can find something encouraging in every single one. Okay, so read the Gospels. Okay? Watch a few movies. Thirdly, read a biography of Jesus. I've already suggested you read the Gospels, but I also encourage you to read a biography of Jesus, a book that presents his life in historical context that helps you enter his world and experience him there. Just go to Northwestern Book, okay? You'll find several there that are worth reading. Well, one good biography is called The Hidden Jesus by Donald Spoto. You'll be able to connect with Jesus in a fresh way as you read that. The gospel touches us. But when someone writes a book reflecting on the gospels, it gives us a little different angle and helps us connect. So read a biography of Jesus. It'll be worth your time. The real goal is to make it your objective to connect with Jesus in a more personal and real way. He's here. He's available. He's waiting for you. He wants to know you. Take the first step toward connecting more intimately with Jesus. If you do, I guarantee you, you will never be the same again. Reach out to Jesus because he's reaching to you. To connect, to know, to love, to be your companion, to make sense out of each day. And he'll do that if you'll reach out to him. Read the Gospels. Watch a few good movies. Read a biography. And see Jesus in a fresh way. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning grateful for Jesus Christ. We sometimes forget who he is, that he is eternal God, that he has been since before the creation of the world. And he created us and knows us in ways we can't even imagine. Would you help us, Father, Would you help us to connect with Jesus in a fresh and very personal and powerful way? Father, we cannot do this unless you come alongside us and help us. So we ask for that help. Walk with us, I pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen.